does a person good to look at things in the world as they are from other perspectives. And of course, you know, flying in a plane and looking out the window and seeing all the things that's going on the ground, and it makes you realize how insignificant, insofar as men are concerned, that each one of those things is. Because, you know, when you're 25,000 or 30,000 feet up in the air and you're looking down and you're seeing all of this stuff going on, and, you know, it's just like you're looking at an ant bed. I mean, really, because that's just about how it really appears. And so that, you know, it is, I think a lot of times we men have a tendency to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And, you know, just to look out over all of the things that that God has done. And then to remember what David said, "Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou dost visit him?" And yet in his great mercy and kindness, he has indeed visited us. And he has not only visited us, but he has given us blessings that we could never imagine or come up with in and of ourselves. Now, we've been looking here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to begin reading there in verse 20. Verse 20. "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before another his own supper, and one's hungry and another's drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for the other. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Now, of course, we had what Paul's upbraiding them about was evidently they had lost sight of what it was to eat the Lord's Supper. and they had come together in feast and then more or less just called that the communion of the body and blood of the Lord. Now there's certainly reason to believe that in the scriptures that the early church there was a connection between the eating of a meal and the taking of the Lord's Supper. There is reason to believe that, but then there's also reason that we would understand what Paul's saying here, that that can get out of hand if people lose sight of what it is that we're doing. You know, the purpose of coming together to eat a meal, eat this meal, is not to be fed, but it's to remember the Lord's death till He comes again. And so it is important that we keep that in mind. And we see this is a specific case. Now, I don't believe that what Paul is speaking about here is widespread. I think this is a particular instance that the Lord has shown us for our benefit, that we might learn some things about what the Lord's Supper is. It is indeed was specifically given to them that they might learn it, and from them we can learn it. And so whenever Paul is setting these things forth, I think we can read more into this than what is here in the sense of how this will be applied to us. Now, I think that this is specifically Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. And keep in mind that this was all occurring in the very early days of the church. And, you know, they didn't have the New Testament as we do, as we can come and read the letters of Paul and we can gain these things. This was teaching that was taking place on a daily level. In other words, they were getting the truth as it laid out to them for the first time. Now we, as the children of God, learn from those things that we find in the Word of God. But that doesn't mean that everything that occurs in the Word of God one time is going to occur a bunch of times. And a lot of times people make that mistake in thinking, well, if it happened then, it can happen again. Well, it could, and it may. But I believe that many of the occurrences that we see taking place, especially like in the book of Acts, and as is mentioned here, are not necessarily meant to be considered as events that would occur throughout the course of the life of the church over an extended period of time. Now, he says to them, I'm going to tell you what it is when, I'm going to tell you what the Lord's Supper is. He said, this is what I have received of the Lord. Now it's not, he didn't get it second hand. He didn't learn it by tradition, but he got this from the mouth of the Lord. The Lord taught him. He says, I receive this from the Lord. Now, how that happened, I can't say except that I do know he said he didn't confer with flesh and blood after he was converted, but he went into the desert. And the Lord met with him there. And the Lord taught him. Now, Paul is a specific, the Lord used Paul in a specific fashion. As Paul said himself, he was one as born out of due time. That is, he was specifically set forth for a particular purpose. And the Lord, of course, has given us the bulk of the practical knowledge of the Christian faith through the writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, of course, we do get plenty of stuff from the rest of those of the letters, but if you took the letters of the Apostle Paul and you didn't have anything else to go by, you would have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how those things are to be applied in the practical everyday lives of God's people. And so he said, this is what I received of the Lord which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed," and we've talked about that, "he took bread. Even though this was on his mind, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he was coming, and he knew he was going to be betrayed. In fact, he pointed it out to the one who was going to betray it. He said, now's the time, go do what you've got to do." Now, was he saying, don't do that? Did he try to talk Judas out of that? No, he knew what Judas was going to do, but you see, that was in the purpose of God. And so it was time, and he said, go do what you got to do. Do it quickly. Go get it done. Because it has to be done. And you're the one that's going to do it. And so, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? He gave thanks for the breaking of the bread, which represented the breaking of his body. He said, thank you, Lord, that this bread is that which will show my people that I have given myself for them. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the ability to carry this out. And when he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Now, I've always thought that it was a kind of a interesting choice of words when he says, this is my body which is broken for you, but the scripture is very specific in saying not a bone of his body was broken. And regardless of, you know, all the things that happened, he was yet in that way a perfect sacrifice, because you see, in the Old Testament, that lamb or the cow or whatever it was that they were offering, it had to be without spot, without blemish. It couldn't be an old cow that had a broke leg or something like that. It had to be whole and complete, without spot, without blemish. And so he says, this is my body which is broken for you. Now, how was the body of Christ broken? It certainly wasn't his bones were broken. But he said that this breaking of his body, if you break something, then you make it where it's not fit for the use that it once had. It can't continue in the form. If you take a glass and you drop it on the tile floor and it goes into a million pieces, you can't pick it up and drink out of it anymore, can you? Because it's broken. And so in that way, the body of the Lord Jesus was broken. He's specifically saying it's put to death. It's broken. It's that which is made of no use as a body, as we think of it. But it did, of course, have its specific purpose. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Now, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to all who take that bread in faith. He said, this is broken for you. It's not a general atonement, but it's a specific atonement, because he did it for you. And that's a glorious thought. And sometimes, of course, in the zeal of many, in the misguided thought that they have, to think about, well, Christ just died for everybody. Well, there's no specificity, I can't even say that word, but there's no particularness in the concept of Christ dying for the world. But there is in the fact that he specifically had a people that he said, this is my body which is broken for you, particularly. And then he said, this do in remembrance of me. And that's what God's people are to do, is to remember the Lord. And in the same fashion, he took the cup after he had supped, and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now, the cup, that's an interesting thing. You know, a lot of people go to great lengths to prove that there was wine in that cup. I believe there was wine in that cup. But when you go to the New Testament and you look, you won't ever find where it says there was wine in that cup. It says the cup. And so it is the fruit of the vine. But it's, you know, now while I believe there's reason to set forth that it was wine in that cup, at the same time, you have to be careful in making a mountain out of a molehill, because it does not matter if it is wine, alcoholic wine, or grape juice. It doesn't really matter. Now, it does matter from the standpoint of if you say, well, what did they use? And I think it's pretty, you can say with pretty much confidence that it was alcoholic wine that they had in this cup. But I've known of people to fall out with one another and get mad with one another over such an issue as that. And it's just not, it's not worth falling out over, because it's not, cannot be proven one way or the other in the Scripture. But I digress. He took the cup. What he had in that cup, I believe, was wine. And he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And he said, take this cup and drink it. Now, I would say this. He didn't say, take these cups. He said, take this cup, because it was speaking of one cup. Now, again, I wouldn't fall out with somebody over this, because it really has to do with what one is taking, not the specific decanter or container that one has. But I believe that he took this particular cup and he passed it around to his disciples. He said, take this cup. Take this. And they each took from that same cup. And it was that which represented his body and his blood, because it is one cup. It's not many cups. Again, that's not to say that it would be wrong or that it is wrong to use individual containers of wine, but I think that it is more in keeping with the illustration here if we use one cup. Now, as all, but the most important thing is not how many cups you use, or what's in the cup per se, but it is that when you partake of it, you do it in remembrance of Him. And so it is that we are to do as often as you drink it. Now notice that He didn't say do it 3 times a week or 3 times a month or 1 time a month or 4 times a year. He didn't say how many times that we are to do it. But He said as often as you do it, however often that may be, do it in remembrance of Him. I believe it ought to be often. I believe the example of the early church is that they did it each time they came together. And I believe that that is a scriptural matter, but it's not, again, it's not, you know, a thing, a point of order that we could fall out with one another over, because He did say as often as you drink it, however often that is, do it in remembrance of Him. But don't do it just to be doing it. Don't do it because it's a habit. Don't do it because you want to get together and eat. But do it in remembrance of Him. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Or you manifest it. You declare it. You set it forth as that testimony, as a monument, so to speak, of the Lord Jesus Christ each time. That's what it is. I mean, when we see this cup and this bread sitting here on this table, we are reminded of those things, but it is the taking of them, the eating of them, and the drinking of them that we do in remembrance of Him. And that is how, if each individual person eats this bread and drinks this cup. Because we could say, well, here's the bread, here's the wine, okay. But that's not good enough, is it? He said, eat it and drink it. And that is a very literal matter. And in doing so, we will manifest or declare the Lord's death till He comes. Now here He says some things that are very important that we understand. And I believe again, like I said to start with, that He's speaking in a specific application here to this particular church because of that which He's already upbraided about. I don't think this is a general application that goes from time on. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, are we not all guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord? Is there anybody that's not guilty? I mean, is it not our sin that put Him there? I mean, are we not guilty of being that which caused His death? So that's not what He's talking about. But He's rather talking about those that would take this cup without due regard to what it is, as He specifically talked to them about coming together and eating and drinking, getting drunk, and some eating and some not having something to eat, and just making it into a feast with no benefit. And so He said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Now that concept of unworthily, all of us are unworthy. But it is a matter of unworthily. And what it has reference to is the regard that we have unto what it represents. That's what it is to take it unworthily. It's not to take it not being worthy, because who of us would ever come here and take it? We couldn't. Because in reality, the only way that a man can worthily take this would be to know that he's unworthy to take it. So it can't be talking about that. But it is talking about a specific instance of being guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That is, that you just disregard it. Because what regard you have unto this is of the utmost importance. If you don't have any regard to it, if it's just a religious tradition to you, then it's of no use. Or if it's just something that you do because you want to do it, that is what it is to take it unworthily. And you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That is, you have no regard to it. That's what He means. But let a man, now listen to this, but let a man examine himself. Now this is an important matter. Now, are we going to examine ourselves and see if we've committed any sin, and then we say, well, no, I committed a sin this week, I can't take it? Of course not. Because would we ever take it? No. I mean, could you ever get to a place, was there a window of opportunity in your lifetime when you could say, okay, everything's in order, I'm not at fault, I'm not mad at anybody, and nobody's mad at me, and now I can go. I've heard people go to great lengths, you know, to talk about all of that stuff. And it's not. It's certainly, you know, if you've got some matter of fault with a brother, you need to go to that brother and do it. But that's not what He's talking about here. He's saying, let a man examine himself. Examine himself for what? What is it that I'm doing? What is my point in this? This is what it is to examine yourself. Let a man examine himself, and then listen to what He says. He does not say, let a man examine himself, and then if he doesn't find himself to be worthy, don't eat it. Does he? Why? Because the Lord said, do it in remembrance of Him. So the purpose of the examination is to bring our thought and mind back to what it is that we do this for. And that's what it is. When we have regard to the brethren, when we have regard to those for whom Christ died, and we have regard to what it is that Christ did, That's what it is to have regard to the body of the Lord. Because he says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, that's a pretty strong word, and it probably is stronger than what's really the point Paul's bringing out here. Damnation, I mean, we normally would think of that in the sense of, utter damnation. I mean, he's had it. That's not what he's really getting at here. He's saying he is heaping upon himself condemnation because he is having disregard to those things that the Lord has given. And he said, because he doesn't discern the Lord's body. That is, he doesn't have respect unto it, doesn't see it for what it is. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, I don't believe this is a specific application to this church. And I don't believe that you will find that is the case. I mean, is sickness, I mean, would there be people from time to time among God's people that partake of this without proper regard? Probably so. I mean, we've probably all done it from time to time. Have you known of anybody that got sick as a result of it or died? No. But there was in this case, wasn't there? I mean, because the Lord would make an example. Because the Lord would show that why? To benefit the body. You know, so that we might see this for the import that it is. And so surely the Lord can do that. But I don't think that a man needs to live in fear that he's going to get sick and die because he maybe didn't have the proper regard for it one time or whatever. But he's showing us the seriousness of what this is. And so it is that this did indeed occur in this specific instance. And I'm not going to say that it would never occur at some other time, but I think that the specific application is to the Corinthian church, and that's how it played out. And because he says, wherefore, my brethren, well, he says, when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, that's the whole purpose of this, is so that we might see what it is, that how important this is, that we might judge ourselves. That is, we might look at these things so that we wouldn't be condemned with the world because the world doesn't have regard to it. We want to be separate from the world and have regard to the things of God. But when we're judged of the Lord, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Because if we belong to the Lord, He will chasten us. He will teach us. And He will lead us. And I believe He leads us by example in this case with the Corinthian church. We say, hey, you know, this is serious business. I mean, if the Lord brought death and sickness on these people for the thing they were doing, how important is that? It's very important. And so the Lord would have us to learn from that example. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for the other. Specifically applying this to them. He said, look, don't be doing what you've been doing. Wait on one another. Eat the Lord's Supper in the proper fashion. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So, I believe that this is, again, a specific warning to these Christians there at Corinth that they take heed to what they're doing and be wise and to look at what they're doing, examine themselves. Why are we doing this? See, evidently, they weren't examining themselves at all, were they? They just said, hey, we go down there, we're going to have us a feast. And, they had no regard to their brethren, and they had no regard to the things of God. And so, consequently, they manifested the judgment of God upon them in the sense that He would chasten those that belonged to Him, lest we be condemned with the world.